In 2005, our father became terminally ill, and my brother became distraught, confused, and fully human. For the first time in my life, I saw him weep openly as he sat at our father's hospital bed and stroked his head. It had the outward appearance of a touching moment between father and son, but I'd never seen my brother behave like this before. People with Asperger's don't access or show feelings, certainly not to this extent. I'd never seen such an unbridled display of raw emotion. I felt conflicted. On the one hand, it was a breakthrough. On the other hand, it was a bit of an understatement to say there is a history of mental illness in our family. So I was worried that it might be less breakthrough than breakdown. After our father died, my normally animated and tail-up and activated brother was depleted and sad. He started to worry about his health and consider, perhaps for the first time, his own mortality. Not knowing what else to do, I sent him an email about our father's death with the instruction, write about it. He responded with a question, "What am I supposed to write?" I explained that it might release some of the sad feelings he was dealing with, and I gave him the oldest rule in writing, show, don't tell. A few days later, he sent me an essay about our father, about visiting him in the hospital as he lay dying, and the memories, most of them dark, that arose from the past. It was stunningly honest and undeniably beautifully written. I knew he had a story to tell, I thought, but where the hell did that come from? The essay went up on my website and quickly became the most popular feature. Gratifyingly, yet humblingly, about as much mail started to come in about him as about me. Will you publish more of his work online? Has he written anything else? How is your brother doing now? So in March 2006, I said to him, you should write a memoir about Asperger's, about growing up not knowing what you had, a memoir where you tell all your stories, tell everything. About 5 minutes later, he emailed me a sample chapter. Like this was the subject line of the email. Yes, like that. Once again, my brilliant brother had found a way to channel his unstoppable Asperger energy and talent. In a very short period of time, he'd completed his manuscript. It goes without saying that I am swollen with pride over the result. Of course it's brilliant. My big brother wrote it. But even if it hadn't been created by my big, lumbering, swearing, unshaven, early man sibling, this is as sweet and funny and sad and true and heartfelt a memoir as one could find. Utterly unspoiled, uninfluenced, and original. My brother, after 30 years of silence, is a storyteller again.
Look me in the eye, young man. I cannot tell you how many times I heard that shrill, whining refrain. It started about the time I got to first grade. I heard it from parents, relatives, teachers, principals, and all manner of other people. I heard it so often, I began to expect to hear it. Sometimes it would be punctuated by a jab from a ruler or one of those rubber-tipped pointers teachers used in those days. The teachers would say, "Look at me when I'm speaking to you." I would squirm and continue looking at the floor, which would just make them madder. I would glance up at their hostile faces and feel squirmier and more uncomfortable and unable to form words, and I would quickly look away. My father would say, "Look at me. What are you hiding?" "Nothing." If my father had been drinking, he might interpret "nothing" as a smart-aleck answer and come after me. By the time I was in grade school, my father was buying his Gallo wine by the gallon jug, and he had made a pretty big dent in a jug every evening before I went to bed. He kept drinking long into the night, too. He would say, "Look at me," and I would stare at the abstract composition of empty wine bottles stacked behind the chair and under the table.